Translational purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me who abide in all creatures as their very self. Purport. It should not be misunderstood that because the super soul is dwelling within the heart of all of a living entity, the individual soul has become equal to him. The equality of the super soul and the individual soul is misconceived by the impersonalist. Here it is distinctly mentioned that the individual soul should be recognized in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The method of worshipping the individual soul is described here as either giving charitable gifts or behaving in a friendly manner, free from any separatist outlook. The impersonalist sometimes accepts a poor individual soul as being Daridra Narayan, meaning that Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has become poor. This is a contradiction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of all opulences. He can agree to live within a poor soul or even within an animal, but this does not make him poor. There are two Sanskrit words used here, mana and dana. Mana indicates a superior, and dana indicates one who gives charitable gifts or is compassionate towards an inferior. We cannot treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead as inferior who is dependent on our charitable gifts. When we give charity, it is to a person who is inferior to his material, who is inferior in his material or economic condition. Charity is not given to a rich man. Similarly, it is explicitly stated here that mana, respect, is offered to a superior and charity is offered to inferior. The living entities, according to different results of fruitive activities, may become rich or poor, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unchangeable. He is always full of six opulences. Treating a living entity equally does not mean treating him as one should treat the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Compassion and friendliness do not necessitate falsely elevating someone to the exalted position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not at the same time misunderstand that the supersoul situated in the heart of an animal like a hawk and the supersoul situated in the heart of a learned brahmana are different. The supersoul in all living entities is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but by his omnipotency he can live anywhere and he can create his Vaikuntha situation everywhere. That is his inconceivable potency. Therefore, when Narayana is living in the heart of a hawk, he does not become a hawk Narayana. He is always Narayana and is unaffected by the body of the hawk. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Athamam sarva-bhūteṣu bhūtātmanam kṛtālayam archayet dāna manabhyam maitriya binena chakshusham. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and by viewing all as all to be alike, one should propitiate me who abide in all creatures as their very self. Om Agyana Timirandasya Dhyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vidamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vanchakaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajana Lambit Bujokana Kavadata Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Gudarma Palam Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yandah Pravishya Mama Vachim Mam Prasuptam Sanjeevayata Kila Shakti Darah Svadam Nanyam Shahasta Charana Shravanatva Agadim Pranam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam Hare Krishna. So we'll try to bring to a conclusion the topic which we started yesterday. And I wanted to begin with my talk today was stating that we all have envy. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, analyzing anarthas, of which envy is the most dangerous one, because it is completely opposite to love. They are in total opposition towards each other. So, unless and until one has envy in the heart, there is no possibility of obtaining love. Because they are contrary, they are not compatible, they cannot live together. And we want to love Krishna, and Krishna happened to be everywhere. Krishna happened to be everything, therefore loving Krishna and hating anything or anybody is totally contradictory. It just doesn't make any sense. So to obtain love of Godhead, one has to get rid of this disease of envy, or matsarya, was in the heart. Of this spirit which is there and which basically plunges us into this ocean of material existence. And therefore, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharmakaitava Projeta Paramonir Matsaranam Satam, that to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to be non-envious. Because to understand Srimad Bhagavatam means to understand Krishna. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam means to love Krishna. To love Krishna means somehow or other to get rid of this disease of envy within the heart. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while explaining the evolution of anarthas, he traces them down to the root cause of all anarthas and all our problems, that is ignorance. He gives this anatomy of the cloud of anarthas which block the power of devotional service. Yesterday I mentioned that the devotional service is naturally powerful. It has svabhaviki in the very nature of pure devotional service or devotional service or such elements or such processes of devotional service and hearing it chanting are very powerful. But there is a blockage. There is a blocking force which is very powerful this is basically consists of anarthas within our heart. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he traces them down to the original anartha, which is ignorance. Everything starts with ignorance. All our problems are stemming from the ignorance. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he classifies all the anarthas into 16 categories, which are very important to understand how they develop. He says, in the beginning there is this Brahm, Tattva Brahm, not understanding the truth. And he says that it's of four kinds, Svatattva Brahm, not understanding who you are, basically taking yourself as the body, not understanding the eternal nature of the soul, not understanding the nature of the soul as the servant. Paratattva Vibrahma Brahm, the mistake of Paratattva. We don't understand who is Paratattva. We don't understand the essential qualities of Paratattva. Paratattva means God, but God, sometimes, you know, we can see the picture of God, he's little, you know, lost some of his hairs, and he has a long beard, and he's gray hairs, and he's sitting somewhere in a cloud, and with great sadness in his eyes, looks what's going on in this earth. So, it's a typical example of Paratattva Brahm, because God is everywhere. God is all-potent, He is all-powerful, He is all-loving. And this is, people cannot understand, they say either He is all-loving or He is all-powerful. They have this really funny problem of the evil in this world. And this is all manifestation of Paratattva Brahm. And it starts from the misunderstanding the basic quality of the Lord. And the basic quality of the Lord is reflected in His name as Vishnu. Who is Vishnu? What Vishnu means? Vishnu means the one who entered everywhere. The omnipresence of the Lord is a very essential quality, and before we understand the omnipresence of the Lord, we are in this, you know, the Lord is present in my heart, the Lord is present in everyone's heart, Lord is present everywhere. Unless we understand this, that this creation is His and He is pervading all this creation, we are in this ignorant condition. And then, very interestingly, he says, of course, next point is that because we don't understand our nature, we don't understand the nature of God, we don't understand tattva of sadhana and sandhya, and sadhya. We don't understand what should be the process, what should be the spiritual practice. It's actually very important because the spiritual practice is derived from sambandha gyan, from the understanding of tattva, the nature of the soul and God. You know, it's a natural consequences. The spiritual practice should be very consistent with the understanding of who is God and who is soul. Like, for example, I was thinking about this. I'm lately, you know, quite trying to study a little bit philosophy of Madhvacharya. And it's, even though he is our original Acharya, one of the original Acharyas to whom we trace our lineage, our spiritual lineage, his understanding is very much different than ours. Even in a basic, on a very basic, you know, level, it's different because, for example, we say that God, which is very important for us, that God is simultaneously nimitta karana and upadana karana. He is the remote cause, the one who created this world by giving impetus or whatever, and his upadana karana, he is, this world is made of him. Upadana karana, his material cause. This is our philosophy. Madhvacharya doesn't recognize this philosophy. He says, yes, God is nimitta karana, but not upadana karana. World is not made of him, it's different, it's matter, and matter is categorically different according to his philosophy of Dvaita. So the very important consequence is, you know, there is very important ethical consequence. One will behave differently towards this world if he understands that it's different from the Lord, or if one understands that it's same as the Lord. It's the Lord. So, and that's very important. Therefore, the mood, the attitude which followers of Madhvacharya Sampradaya have is completely different than the Gaudiyas. Gaudiyas, they stress humility, they stress respect, they stress all these qualities. And, you know, Madhvas, they're different. They're very feisty. They, you know, they are fighting with everyone, as Madhvacharya was fighting. What I want to say is that we have to understand this svatattva brahm, svatattva properly, paratattva properly. Then we have to understand, stemming after this, sadhana and sandhya, sadhya, what is our practice and what is our goal. And we can see the goal of Madhva Sampradaya, and in fact every other Sampradaya, is not prem, it's moksha, it's liberation. Again, because of slight difference in understanding of tattva, or tattva of the Lord and tattva of the living entity. This little slight understanding, it becomes a very huge slight misunderstanding or slight mistake, slight difference in opinion, brings a completely different conception of what we should do, how we should do, and what is the goal of all our endeavors. And then, very important, because this is extremely important, and in fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by listing these ignorances, he actually refers to Sri Sampradaya, which also agree with this, that Sri Sampradaya says that there are five basic truths which we have to understand. This is the truth about the soul, the truth about the Supreme Lord, the truth about the means of sadhana, the truth about the goal of sadhya. And then the fifth one is very important. Tad Vishaya Viroda Brahm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that besides that, one would say that this is enough to understand. You understand who is the soul, you understand who is the Supreme Lord, you understand what you're supposed to do, and you understand what is the goal of all your endeavors. What else is there? What else do we need to know? Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. So, what else do we need to know? It seems like everything is covered by these four mistakes or four truths which we have to understand properly to be nicely situated as a devotee. No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, tad viśaya virodhi brahm. Not understanding or mistaken understanding what is contrary to the devotional service. What actually totally, completely destroys devotional service. This is a separate subject matter which we have to understand very carefully. And in fact, it's the most important subject matter. By far the most important subject matter. Because we may do everything properly, we may understand who is Lord, who is the soul, what is the soul, and you know, what is the relationship. But if we don't understand which mistakes we can commit on this path, we will practice our sadhana not in a perfect way. Therefore, basically this is the misunderstanding what is aparadha and what is not. What is the offense which blocks the power of devotional service? And that's why I started this seminar. So, one simple answer to this, question which everyone is expecting with bated breath, as was said, you know, how to deal with this problem, is that first of all, we have to understand what is the nature of aparada. What is the nature of this tadvishaya virodhi, something which is contrary to devotional service? But anyway, I'm not. Let's go a little quicker. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says first is ignorance, then the ignorance. From ignorance very naturally comes asat trishna, or desires for asat, something unreal. Because we don't understand who we are, we don't understand what is the reality, tattva brahm. Because we don't have this understanding, naturally the desire for something unreal appears in the heart. We want material enjoyment, we want enjoyment in the heavenly planets, we want some, mystic power. Ultimately, we want liberation. He says this is all anarthas, the desires which actually stand as impediment between us and the Supreme Lord and the goal, which is love. Then he says, the next point, because you develop this trishna, trishna means thirst, insatiable source for material enjoyment and all kinds of varieties. We develop certain philosophies and certain practices because of this. Then he says, because of this thirst for material enjoyment, the natural consequence of it is aparad. Why do we offend other living entities? Why do we offend Vaishnavas? Why do we offend the Supreme Lord? The reason is very simple. Because we want to enjoy and we see others as impediment for our enjoyment. Who is the main impediment for our enjoyment? Devotees are the main impediment for our enjoyment. If it was not for them, I would enjoy very nicely in this material world. These devotees, they always say something nasty, you know, and this and that. So therefore, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you may offend the Lord, you may offend the devotees of the Lord who are his paraphernalia, basically. And in this way, you commit aparadas, and you offend other living entities as well. You know, he gives this, again, four categories, and you offend the name of the Lord. You basically, because of this enjoying spirit, because of this thirst for enjoyment, you develop the offensive attitude towards the manifestation of the Lord, which actually, you know, when we understand that there is Lord and we're His servants, it's completely, totally against the spirit of enjoyment. It's very contrary. You know, there was this sick French man, you know, the Saad, who was, I mean, totally sick man, who is being worshipped in the modern society because he the first one who started, you know, writing these sick books about sex. But he said a very interesting thing. He said that there is nothing more contrary to enjoyment than love. There is nothing more detrimental to my enjoyment than love. Because love means to give. Love means to serve. Love means, and enjoyment means to take. Enjoyment means to lord it over. So at least he understood this much. Of course, he didn't take the right path of love. He preferred to become completely crazy in the path of enjoyment. But the point is that we become offensive, which is the impediment to obtain love, because of this spirit of enjoyment, because of this asat trishna. And then this is why I wanted to speak a little bit about this anatomy of our problems. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a result of this, the Hrit Dorbalyam, it's the grossest manifestation of anarthas within our heart. Hrit Dorbalyam means the weakness of the heart. And he again says, this weakness of the heart, it's become from the very subtle manifestation, which is ignorance, to grosser manifestation of desire, to even grosser manifestation as offensive attitude, desire and then attitude, and then most gross manifestation of anarthas, which is Hrit Dorbalyam, the weaknesses of the heart, which he says, Tuccha Sakti, the attachment to some trivial things, you know, attachment to our little, you know, ambitions, attachment to our position. I am the, you know, senior brahmachari in this ashram. This is called Tuccha Sakti. And if somebody kicks me out, I am this, I am that. You know, this is, we have so many completely ridiculous attachments in the heart. Absolutely so ridiculous. You know, if you analyze to what you are attached, the greatest attachment which we have in our heart is attachment to the, you know, to some offenses which somebody did to us. We're still bitter of these offenses. And so many attachments are there, you know, it justifies our... So Tuccha Sakti, then he says, Kutinati, the deceitful behavior, when we secretly commit some, you know, sinful activities or fault-finding. And then Matsarya. Matsarya means envy. And then Svapratishtata, the pride. So this is again the grossest manifestation of our ignorance is envy and pride. envy and pride, matsarya and svapratistata, the grossest and the most dangerous manifestation of everything. And the result of it is very serious. The result of it is our suffering in this world. So Jiva Goswami, while dealing with this subject matter, with specifically this series of verses which we read yesterday about this matsarya or envy, how this envy manifests in the gradations, he gives, and how ultimately we don't respect other living entities, not understanding that God is there in their heart. Srila Jiva Goswami, he quotes Agni Puran, a very interesting, two very interesting verses which I wanted to share with you to, you know, to even stress how serious it is. These verses are spoken by the father of Shravan Kumar. Perhaps you know the story of Shravan Kumar. It's described in Ramayana, where it is said that Dasharath once was hunting, and he had mystic ability to shoot the arrow and, you know, beat, how you say, the target without seeing the target. He could just hear, and just by sound he will shoot the arrow, and the arrow will hit the target for sure without any fail. So Dasharath was hunting, and he was little, you know, tired, and he sat down under the tree, and all of a sudden he heard the noise of water. Somebody was drinking very loudly, and he thought that it would be some animal in the forest. And he shot his arrow, and to his dismay and to his total complete shock, he heard the human voice in reply, the cry of a human being. He ran towards this noise, towards this cry, and he saw a little boy dying at the brink of a lake. And this boy, before he died, he said, please take care of my parents because they are alone here in this forest. I went to bring some water to them, and now I'm dying, so please take care of them. They are blind. They are very old and they are blind. And I'm their only protector. So, you know, I don't mind that you shoot me, but please take care of my parents. And Dasharath, he was, phew, to make it even worse. Now he has to take this dead body of this little boy and to bring it to his parents. So when he comes, initially the parents are all elated. They say, oh, Shravan Kumar, you're coming, so nice. Why have you been away for so long? And then Dasharath, he puts the dead body of the boy on the lap of the blind father. And he says, I'm really sorry, but I, King Dasharath, killed your son. And he's now dead. And he's laying on your lap. And, of course, at that moment, this father, blind father of Shravan Kumar, started lamenting and lamenting and lamenting. And he started saying, oh, my Lord, why did it happen to me? What have I done? He didn't blame Dasharath. Of course, he cursed him, but, you know. But, I mean, he said, he didn't really curse him. He said, you know, I'm dying because of the death, in separation with my son, you will also die in the same way. Being separated with your son, you will also die from the separation of your son. So it's not really a curse, it's just a statement that you will get the same sort of reaction. But it's very interesting how he is trying to analyze why did it happen to me. He is being the, you know, very wise person, and the person of a Vedic culture understands that nothing happens to us without a reason. So he says, why did it happen to me? And he says, it must be, and he gives two reasons why this terrible grief can fall upon my head. He says, Shila Buddhi Krita Kimva Pratimayam Harer Maya. He says, perhaps I've seen the deity of the Lord. And I had Shila Buddhi, this is just a stone. I looked at the deity and I said, oh, this is just a statue, you know. Just nicely dressed, but just a statue. He says, this might be one reason, because this is a grievous offense. We don't understand that the Lord is everywhere. That Lord, when He wants, He can manifest through the deity. And He manifests, He does manifest. He says, that's why this grievous, this total complete shock came to me. Kim maya pathidrishtaya Vishnu bhaktasya karhichit tan mudrankita dehasya cetasa anadarah kritah yena karma vipakena putra shoka manedrishah. He says, yena karma vipakena, because of this karma, by this karma, yena karma vipakena, by the consequences, the reaction of this karma, putra shoka mamadrishah. Therefore, I lost the most dear one, my son, putra shoka mamadrishah. It came to me because of this. But the second offense, the second karma, dushkarma, which he might have created, he says, kim maya pathidrishtaya, perhaps in front of my eyes, Vishnu Bhaktasya Karhichit, once Karhichit, Vishnu Bhaktasya came, Vishnu Bhakta. And he had Tan Mudrankita Dehasya, his body was decorated by the signs of Vishnu Bhakta. He had tilak on his forehead and in other places. And at that moment, Chetasa Anadarah Kritah. At that moment, I did not pay obeisances in my mind. Anadarah. I didn't really respect him in my mind. And he said, because of this, I'm suffering. I mean, I don't know what will happen to us in the next life. But this is his analysis. He says, that must be the reason. Because I don't understand how God appears in front of me. God appears in front of us in two forms. Either in the form of a deity or in the form of a devotee. We have to understand that this is God Himself, it's nobody else. If somebody is trying to serve God, he is equal, he's on the same level. We should treat him on the same level. And Jiva Goswami, he gives this horrible verses as a warning to us. How careful we should be when we deal with the devotees. And he gives a relief. I'm coming to the cure part. He also gives another verse from Mahabharata. Piteva putram karuno no dve jayati yo janah vishuddhasya hrishikesha stasya turnam prasidati. Very interesting verse. He says, Tasya turnam prasidati, Hrishikesha tasya turnam prasidati. Very quickly you will get the satisfaction or and mercy of the Lord, Hrishikesh, who is situated in everyone's heart, Vishuddhasya, Vishuddhasya very quickly you will satisfy him. How? Piteva putram karuno no dve jayati yojanah. If you are not vijayati, if you udvijayati means you disturb others. If you behave in such a way that others are not disturbed, if you behave in a very gentle way, if you consciously not to try to disturb anyone, and pitiva putram karuno, if you are compassionate towards others as father is compassionate towards his son. He gives these two advices to us, two very important advices to us. And basically, Lord Kapiladev will repeat the same thing, but in a different way. The difference is very important, but still I want to first say a few words about this verse from Mahabharata, the Jiva Goswami quotes. He basically says two things. One, if you are compassionate, if you try to feed others, how the compassion of father manifests towards the son. He takes care of him, and mostly he feeds him. He takes care of him, filling up his belly. And another solution or another recommendation or advice, he says, if you are very gentle and you are well behaved and you don't disturb others by your arrogance and you control yourself in this sense. So this is two advices from Mahabharata, and here we can see how Kapiladev will say the same thing. Same thing in a different way. So yesterday we finished with the verse 24. We read four verses where the four stages of disease were described. These three verses, 25th, 26th, and 27th, which we read today, is the description of the cure which Kapiladev gives. It's much more elaborate than Mahabharat verse, and therefore we should definitely know about this. And then I will say few more things, and then we will finish. So the verse 25 says, Archadav archayet tavat ishvaram mam svakarma krit yavan na vedas svahridi sarva bhutesh avasthitam. Lord Kapiladev in four verses said that your worship to me is completely useless if you don't understand that I'm not situated in that I situated in the heart of every living entities. Four verses before he said, even if you worship the deity, it's useless. It's as if you're pouring the ghee on the ashes. Here he says, complete shock. Archadav archayet tavat ishvaram mam svakarma krit. You worship the deity. So, how to deal with this problem? It's not that you stop worshiping the Lord. The wrong understanding of this description which was given before is that, okay, I understand, my worship of the Lord, of the deity is useless, so why should I bother? Because I don't understand that Krishna is in the heart of everyone, I should probably stop it and stop altogether this useless endeavor, stop my chanting, stop everything because it's useless. No, he says, no, archadav archayet tavat, you should worship the deity, ishvaram mam svakarma krit, as the Lord, but at the same time, you should do svakarma krit, you should perform your own duties, or in other words, you should not too quickly imagine yourself to be a Raganuga Bhakta. Basically, what he says, the advice which he gives is very important for us to understand, because this is the mistake which we often repeat. Sometimes we say, oh, I should just worship the Lord, because it is said in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Devarsi Bhutaptan Rinam Bitrinam Nakinkara Nayam Rinichara Jan. I am not Kinkara, sorry, I am not supposed to, you know, serve to anyone, you know, and I don't have any depth towards anyone, you know, Bhutapta, you know, all these Bhutas and Aptas and whoever it is, you know, I'm just serving the Lord. Lord Kapiladev says, my dear sir, don't hurry giving up your duties. You do the worship, but do the worship in conjunction with performing your duties until which point? Until the point you understand that I'm in the hearts of every living entity. This verse is very important because it says the limits of this Vaidhi Bhakti, so to speak. When we perform Bhakti, at the same time keeping in mind that there are so many rules and regulations which we have to follow. But he says that what is the result of this bhakti? What is the result of this karma mishra bhakti or vaidhi bhakti, whatever you call it? What is the result of it? The result of it, you will see the Lord in the heart of every living entity. And when you see it, you know, well, it's fine. Give up all your duties, no problem. Unless you see the Lord situated in everyone's heart, really see. Seeing somebody, oh, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. You know, you see the Lord, he says, you should do this, you should be regulated, and I will not go into detail because I want to hurry up to the verse which we read today, because this is the conclusion of this section. Then he says, but that's not enough. He gives another recommendation. He says, you perform your duty, and basically means, what does it mean to perform your duty? Duty means you follow the culture, the Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada, while commenting in this verse, he says, Varnashrama Dharma. And Varnashrama Dharma means so many rules and regulations. You respect your parents. You respect elders, because they are in a position of guru. You follow the rules of Varnashrama, which make you into a gentle human being, and which will teach you how to respect everyone. And then, because of this respect, and respect is a very important feature of Vedic culture. Basically, in this in two verses, he will give the summary of Vedic culture which we should follow, and the culture of the supportive culture of devotion. There is direct culture of devotion, that is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. This is the direct culture of devotion. Chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, dancing in Kirtan, and so many other things. But then, before our heart is clean, when the heart is not yet clean, and we don't see the presence of the Lord, we don't feel the presence of the Lord, there is another aspect of our culture which we should very strictly follow. This is the supportive culture, Vedic culture. And one feature of this culture, very important, is that you basically, you know, if you say just two lines about Vedic culture, it's respect of elders. Anyone who is in the position of elders, we have to respect, and basically respect of everyone according to the position. Try to respect everyone according to rules. And then in the next verse, he will give another very important feature of the culture, of our internal culture, which we should follow. Very interestingly, Atmanascha parasyapi yahkarot antarodaram tasya bhinna drisom rityur vidadhe bhayam ulbanam. He says, as a blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entity because of differentiation outlook. But Srila Prabhupada, he translates it by he gives a literal translation, but in the word by word translation, he of course says udaram. He translates udaram as a body, but udaram literally means what? Udaram. Udaram means stomach. And literally, what Lord Kapiladev says in the 26th verse: if you do, if you discriminate between your own stomach and stomach of other living entities, I will come to you as terrible death. It basically means that you should, and this are the two aspects of Vedic culture. You should respect everyone, especially the senior person. And the other aspect, you should feed everyone. How to clean the heart? What is this supportive culture which help the direct culture of bhakti to clean our heart? We should do two simple things. Respect everyone and feed everyone. And if we see the nature of Vedic culture, even the remnants of Vedic culture, you know, still to this date, if you come to a traditional Indian home, you know, they will feed you to death. Unless you're half dead, they will not let you out. They will feed you and feed you and feed you. You know, and they will, you know, and they will do it in such a nice way that you will not be able to refuse. It's just, it's virtually impossible. I was in one house, you know. I still, to this date, I remember how I was fed, you know, because it was done with such a love. You know, what is being said is very important here. Because we have two basic problems. You know, again, taking it from a different angle, taking it from the panchakleshas or the causes of suffering according to Yoga Sutra of Patanjali. He says, ignorance is the first, avidya, smita, raga and dvesh. He says that the main problem which we have is this raga and dvesh. Right? Raga means attachment. I am attached to my enjoyment. And dvesh means hatred. Hatred towards all the impediments of enjoyment, hatred towards my competitors, hatred towards, you know, other, you know, people who may somehow or other mess up my enjoyment, or somehow or other, you know, not allow me to enjoy the way I want to enjoy. So raga and dvesh. So what is Vedic culture? Vedic culture gives the cure from these two aspects of our ignorance. You know, raga, what is the cure of raga? Raga means enjoyment, and what is the main enjoyment in this material world? Some say sex, but it's not sex. Sex is a very limited thing, and, you know, the basic enjoyment is eating. Right? So, you know, what is the cure? You should first do what? Before eating yourself, you should do what? You should feed others. In this way, you temper your rag. And you will get great satisfaction. You will get the experience of love. When you're feeding others, you really are much more happy than the others. You know, if I remember it myself, of course, for a long time now, I'm being fed. So and I don't feed anyone. But there was a time when I was cooking to somebody and feeding others. And you know, you cook to some, for somebody, you cook a big feast and you feed them and you don't eat. And then after this, you're completely satisfied. You don't need to eat. You're much more happy than all these people. These people are just, and you are happy. You have energy. Your raga is controlled by feeding others. If you place the desire, you know, the hunger of others ahead of your own hunger, your own stomach, and then this is the solution for this disease of raga. And, you know, the disease of dvesha, raga and dvesha, the hatred, what is the disease of this? You respect everyone. You respect those people. You just, you offer them respect. You offer obeisances. You behave in a very nice, gentle, and humble way in front of people. And we know, you know, like in Vedic culture, or I was born in Uzbekistan, and there are some remnants of this traditional culture is still there. So there, husband and wife call each other, you know, by using you, using plural. You know, of course, in English, you use plural to everyone. You only use singular to God. Somehow, but you know, plural, using plural is a sign of respect. And in Russian, this distinction is very much clear. You know, to junior people, you use singular, but you use plural as a sign of respect. So when you use plural, it's not so in English because the distinction was lost. It's an important distinction because distinction should be there. But when you use plural, even when the husband and wife fight with each other, because they use respectful address to each other, the fight will never become as intense. You know, they fight, no doubt about it, but it's very respectful kind of fighting. You know, the certain respect is there, and respect, you know, limits hatred. This respect actually ultimately helps us to get rid of this disease of hatred. And that's what we're supposed to do. This is the two advice which he gives, and the present verse actually summarizes everything. So he says, yes, we have this problem of envy within our heart, and if you want to get rid of the envy within your heart, you continue your devotional practice for sure. Try to chant nicely, but at the same time, please remember these two additional rules, which are the rules of the culture. You feed others, you welcome others, and you respect others, especially elders. And in this verse, Prabhupada explains the same thing. He says, man and dan. Two rules are there, two supportive rules to cure us from this disease. Man means respect, and respect towards what? Towards elders. Dan means giving charity, giving food. And that's, Prabhupada explains, usually towards juniors, but basically, you may interpret it this way, respect towards elders and feeding juniors, but it doesn't mean that you don't feed elders and only respect them. And it doesn't also mean that you don't respect juniors. You have to respect juniors because Krishna is in the heart of everyone. But he summarizes this. Atha means therefore. Therefore means the summary of this section. This section of seven verses, it summarizes this 27th verse. And therefore he says, Archayet, you should worship me. Kapiladev says, Archayet, you have to worship. How do you worship? Dana manabhyam maitriya abhinena chakshusha. Don't discriminate between yourself and other living entities. Abhinena chakshusha. You should look with equal vision to other living entities. Don't be separatist. Don't be egocentric, egoistic rascal. Don't think that you are the center of the universe. You know, develop different approach towards other living entities. Adhamam sarvabhuteshu bhutatmanam kritalayam. What you should do, he gives three advices here. Mana dana maitri. Abhinena chakshusha. You give food to everyone, or you give some gifts. You try to please others by giving something. And the basic thing which we can give something. You know, it's amazing how people are pleased when you give them something. And how they completely, their heart completely softens. You know, sometimes, you know, I come to completely unknown persons who don't know me, whom I don't know, and give them some fruit. And it's just, people, they initially reaction is just complete shock. Why do you give this to me? But then they become totally, completely, you know, it's not that they're hungry and they need fruit, but it's love. This is how you manifest your love. Even if you don't feel love, you just still give. And you will feel some love. And the person will feel some love from you. Therefore, Kapiladev says, Archayet, how you worship me? You worship me in a proper way, but at the same time you worship other living entities without thinking that they're different from you, by man giving respect, by dan giving them some gifts, and by maitri, by general friendliness. Try to develop this spirit of friendliness. You know, they are my friends, they are not my competitors. They are not somebody who is against me. Just generally, you know, just be friendly. What is more simple? Just smile to them. You know, it's if we go to India, it's still, the friendliness is still very much there, this personal kind of attitude. If you go to West, you know, people, they live next to each other, they don't know how, you know, what is the name of the person. They don't even say hello. You know, Prabhupada, when he was working in London, you know, there was, you know, this English gentleman. In the morning, Srila Prabhupada would say, hello. And these people say, hello. And devotees ask Prabhupada, why do you say hello to them? Why don't you say Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said, because if I say Hare Krishna, they will not tell me Hare Krishna. They will think I'm a crazy fanatical, you know, sect member. But if I say hello, they will say hello, and from this point, their devotional service will start. Because they said good morning, you know, they wish something good, and this is the culture, and this is Vaishnava culture. Vaishnava culture means respect everyone, feed everyone, be nice to everyone, be friendly to everyone. And in this way, you will very quickly understand that God is present in everyone's heart. And you will be able to see Him, you will be able to relate to Him, and you will be able to really love Him. Without this, jumping over this sort of attitude, you will not be able to develop love of God. You know, while I was thinking about this seminar, one, you know, story came to my mind. it's story from Mahabharat. The story how this notion or this culture of respect, how all pervasive it was. This respect towards other living entities was very much there in the minds of people of Vedic culture. You know, it's unfortunately it's gone. It's practically gone. Even in India, it's not so much there anymore, because people used to worship mountains, used to worship trees, used to worship practically every living entity. My initial shock was when I saw one man near Govardhan. And this man, he was kind of, you know, crawling down and doing something on the earth. And I was wondering what he was doing. And he was standing up and going further and again, you know, doing something. So I was wondering what he was doing. I looked more closely and I realized that he is feeding ants. He had little rice flour with little sugar. And whenever he would see ants crawling, he would bend down and would give them little flour and little sugar. And you know, he's worshiping these little ants, taking care of them. We know the story from Prabhupada Lilamrita how Prabhupada's father was feeding snakes and rats. And rats would not eat the goods in Prabhupada's father's shop because they are just members of the family. You know, just respect them. God is there in their heart as well. And the story from Mahabharata is, of course, a little funny, because when Bhim was trying to find some thousand petal lotus for Draupadi, he met an old monkey in the forest, and the monkey was laying across the road. So Bhim says, "Just get out, you know, get out, give me the way." The monkey says, "No, I'm too old. If you want, just step over me." Bhima said, "No, I cannot step over you because it's very disrespectful. It's a monkey. And it's a pure devotee. You know, pure devotee doesn't have to respect anyone, right?" You know, it's Bhima, he's Mahabhagavat. You know, he sees this monkey, and the monkey himself says, "Step over me, no problem." You know, he couldn't even step over his tail. It was too difficult for him because it's so disrespectful to step over somebody, you know. And when we see what devotees are doing, sometimes, you know, we don't mind stepping over anyone, stepping on anyone. You know, but that's the difference. There is this culture of respect where we understand God is everywhere. And unless we understand that God is everywhere and He manifests in different ways, and we should respect, if we want to develop love of God, we should understand all His different manifestations. And then, of course, the next section, just to say a few words about the next section of this very important, I think, 6.5 verses, Lord Kapiladev gives the gradation of living entities. Respect towards all living entities does not mean that you respect them equally. We are not impersonalists. And basically what he will say here, that you respect them in the mind if they are lower species, not necessarily to bow down, but if you see somebody who has very developed consciousness, especially saintly person, this is the real object of respect, the complete object of respect. Everyone else you also respect. But respect in the heart, respect in the mind, harbor this friendly feelings towards them. So the whole evolutional ladder, he will describe how the consciousness developed from the lowest stages of development of consciousness towards the highest stages of development of consciousness, saying that you should respect everyone no matter how low his consciousness is, but still there is gradations of your respect. Still try to understand who is closer to God, because the development of consciousness is according to the closeness of God or the depths of understanding God. So if you see somebody who understands God, he is your worshipable deity. He is somebody you should worship without any reservation. Not to speak about, don't even think about offending him. That will be completely suicidal for your spiritual life. That will totally, completely kill any hope for spiritual development. So this is the idea of this section. And ultimately, and this is the last thing which I will say before we will have some questions. Shruti Dharma Prabhu said that we'll have some time. The last thing which I want to say is that about this series of verses where Lord Kapiladev says, one who doesn't see me in the heart of every living entity, he is just a rascal. So seeing God, how is it possible for us to see him? Of course, I did explain how it is possible. If you follow this, you will see him. But initially, what is most important, what is very important, we don't see God in the heart of other living entities. We don't see God in the heart of other human beings. But we should remember that he is there. This is what Prabhupada said in yesterday's verse, that we should always remind ourselves God is there. And if we remember about this, if we are mindful about this, if we are conscious that God is in the heart of every living entity, this is the sign that we have what? That we have faith. And if we behave contrary to this understanding that God is everywhere, and specifically the God is in the heart of living entities, human beings, and specifically devotees, in a much more pronounced way, he is there in the heart of devotees. It means that we are who? We are faceless atheists. To see God on our level means to believe that he is there. And to behave, to mold our life, our behavior accordingly in a way which is appropriate to this understanding. God is in the heart of everyone. Therefore, I have no right to hate anyone. I have no right even to look down at anyone. Because how I can look down at anyone? God is there. And if I want to love God, I have to love his creation. It's a completely silly idea that I love God, but, let me do whatever I like with in this world. Let me mess it up and let me spoil the nature, spoil the environment, contaminate everything, and, fight with everyone, and blow somebody up because he follows some other religion. Sick idea, crazy idea. How this sort of understanding that God is pleased when we blow somebody up, when we kill somebody, I will go to heaven. Yeah, of course, obviously you will go to heaven, but you will be a little surprised to see how the heaven looks like. If you behave in this contradictory way, God is there. God created this world. The world belongs to him. He is there. Please remember about this and respect everyone. serve everyone, feed everyone, and be happy while chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the real way to be happy. Otherwise, you will commit offenses and the happiness will not come. Thank you very much.